Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Noah Galloway, and I'm the next guest on the Kicks and Shit Show. Check it out.
Hello. Welcome back. It is episode 107 of the Kicks and Shit Show.
Cypher, don't get gassed!
We're back. Gabs, what is happening? Clearly, you are not in your apartment in New Jersey. You are in a room with a erasable.
I'm going to start out like this, Gerard. I'm going to get real hot today.
With an erasable.
Put your AC on, my friend. Relax, mind your business, and drink your water, okay?
No, I am putting no AC on because it's going to make too much noise, and we're going to hear it in the background of our recording. You see, I'm always trying to look out for the listeners. And our viewers. I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying you are in a place that is clearly not your apartment. That's all. I was just making that up.
Trad, I'm almost never in my apartment, even when I'm in my apartment. Let's keep it a buck. That's I think you guys, since we switched to this new recording platform, you get to see
which we love, by the way. It's quite nice.
We love, but there's a few things that we don't love so much. And by we, I mean me. You know, now you guys get to see how the sausage is made. And like, for the record, Trad and I had the exact same conversation before we started recording. And the virtual background that I used to have was a photo from my actual sneaker closet. So it's like legit from the days when we started the show and I was sitting on a yoga block on the floor recording like legit, and now you guys get to see, yo, your girl has a job, she gets that shmoney sometimes, you know, that's how she affords sneakers, so let's not dog on her, Mr. Gerard. Wait,
first
okay?
of all, nobody was dogging. I was just merely bringing up the fact that you are in a functional room where brainstorming happens. I can see brainstorm ideas on the back of that
Don't
wall.
Don't look at that. Mind your business. Mind your business. Drink your water, Jay. How you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm good. I just want to like, and then we see little hearts up there. All love right, you, right. miss
somebody,
you.
Somebody else on the board, okay? You know, Gerard, in remote times, I don't have the luxury of having my own office. So let's not point out other people's offices. And I am trying to make things happen for us and for the show because, you know, I'm just
teasing. It's just funny. It's
for the
funny.
Record,
I like the background.
I want you guys
like
to know, Gerard is like a professional podcaster. Your girl is still learning, and that's okay.
Oh, no, that wasn't about podcasting.
We're going to put it all out there, Jay. We're putting it all out there today. We are off the script. We are off the rails, you guys. You know, I've tried 7 different cameras, 32 different microphones. Nothing is compatible with the Mac. It's 100 pounds to travel with. I have another pair of headphones that I got at home, so we're going to be remixing it up over the next couple of weeks, you guys. And I just want to – I say that because, like, we're real people, right? Like, you might think, like, oh, we've been doing this show for a minute. We have it all figured out. We do not have it all figured out, so I just want to keep it real with our audience because, like, that's what we're all about.
I mean, you talk about me coming in hot. Gabby, do you know what Funkmaster Flex will say to you right now?
Warning. Now that DJ Camillo, but –
That's what Flex would say to you right now. He would literally say, don't get gassed.
I don't know if I agree with that. These are just uncut jams, Trod, that we are spitting here, okay? A little dehydrated, enjoying the West Coast this week. I'm here for some work stuff, and then I'm back to New York for the rest of the month. Excited about the U.S. Open.
Oh, yes. Wait, are you going to the U.S. Open this year?
I believe so. I'm trying to figure out. It's more a matter of when versus if.
Are you working? Are you going to enjoy?
No, I might actually get to go as a fan. I don't know if we're going to call it luxuriating. Like, I know you think I live sweet life of Zach and Cody over here. Like,
I mean, you do. I mean, and by sweet, I mean S-U-I-T-E life, not sweet, sugar sweet life. Yeah, no.
I'm not honeydew sweet life. That's the kind of S-W-E-E-T. That's
shout out to the honeydews, the official drink of the U.S. Open. Mm-hmm. Well, I will be covering it working, so I'll be, doing the media center thing. So look, we can, because folks, another thing you may not know, we don't actually see each other that often in person. And it's not because, again, let's peel back the curtain. Never because Gabby doesn't want to. It's always Gerard being like, you know, I ain't going indoors in no places. So that's not a thing. So we're just not.
True. I appreciate that, Gerard. I really appreciate Jay. I mean,
I'm just putting it out there. I am, you know.
We all have our own thoughts about how things are right now, right? Like, and I think that's totally okay. And, you know, I'm excited to do some feats in the streets, U.S. Open style, personally.
Well, there we go. We'll be out. See, it's an outdoor venue, so I'm happy to meet you up in the various food gardens, having all the delicious food out there, watching some tennis. Well, you know, we are a sneaker pod, not like a sports pod, but we would be remiss if we did not mention the greatest tennis player of all time and a woman on the short list for greatest athlete of all time. Not female athlete, athlete period. Men, women, transgender, whatever, like, don't matter. Everybody involved on the short list for greatest athlete period. Serena Williams, in her first person essay in Vogue this week, announced that she will be not retiring, but evolving away from tennis.
Love that.
Following the U.S. Open. You know, this is a woman who turned pro in 1995 as a 14-year-old, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, she's been winning major titles for decades. Oh, look, and we seem to have a guest hopping in. This is this is sort of the beauty of live sports or live podcasting. But quickly, as I finish up that note, and I'll introduce our guest after this, you know, when we cut for our break, you know, what she's accomplished in her career is second to none, right? It is that is why she is who she is. That's why she is the greatest of all time. And, you know, it will be a wonderful moment whenever her last match is in New York at the Open for her to get sort of those flowers and the send off from the New York City crowd that she so richly deserves. All right, folks, stay tuned. As you see, we have a special person on the right side of our screen there. He'll be here in 1 second, so everyone stay tuned. Coming up, we have our special guest.
Hello, listener. Have you ever used ButcherBox? I don't know if you know this about me, but I used to be a butcher. I used to work at an unnamed grocery store. I used to be that tall man behind the counter in your neighborhood, cutting up meat and preparing seafood for you. And I know that it can be a stressful situation. I know that it can be crowded. You have to wait your turn. You have to know what you want. You feel rushed. Sometimes you might think that your butcher has a bad attitude. I don't know. Happened to a friend. Couldn't possibly be me. But that's why I love ButcherBox. ButcherBox brings you peace of mind. You can easily find high quality beef, chicken, pork that you can trust is humanely raised. There's no antibiotics or added hormones. There's the ultimate convenience of not having to deal with butchers or the crowded meat counter after a long day at work. It's delivered right to your doorstep. There's always free shipping and there's incredible value. You're getting really high quality products at an amazing value. You get exclusive member deals. You get recipe inspiration, guides, hacks. A little hack from my butcher experience, the petite top sirloin, which is about half the price of the New York steak, is a very similar cut with a fat cap on one side, and you get very good tenderness out of the petite sirloin. If you've ever been to a Brazilian steakhouse and you see them talking about picanha, that's the petite sirloin. With ButcherBox, I'm always prepared. I always have meat on deck for a grill and chill, a cookout, or just making dinner at home. And I'm saving a ton of money from shopping at the grocery store all the time. Now, I know what you're thinking. That's great, but what's my reward for signing up for ButcherBox? Well, I'm glad you asked, because if you sign up at ButcherBox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, you will get free ground beef for life. For life. Enough ground beef to fill the Nile, plus $20 off your first box. That's ButcherBox.com/dings.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Gabby, we are back, and we are not alone. We are joined by former, or retired, I guess is probably the best way to say it, Army vet, motivational speaker, Dancing with the Stars contestant, overall superstar, Noah Galloway. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. And I've got to say,
thanks for being here.
Is this a podcast? Is it live? I'm very confused on
it. It is a podcast that also we video recorded as well, so that when we make little clips and cut them up, the video goes out onto YouTube. So yeah, it's a video podcast and an audio. So the audio will be on Apple, Spotify, all that stuff. Okay. And the full video will be available on YouTube.
And pre-recorded. Right. So if you want to curse, if you want to
You can curse, do whatever.
I asked because when I came in, when I came in, I was very confused on what was happening.
All good. It's fine. Don't worry. It's the beauty of live to tape. Let's put it that way, right?
Okay. All right.
Noah, where in the country are you located right now?
I am in Alabama right now.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he's living in Birmingham. Are you Birmingham? Where are you in Alabama? Birmingham?
I'm in the center of the state. I'm just south of Birmingham.
Okay. So are you a Crimson Tide guy? Or
yes. I mean, okay. I do like winners. So
that was a shot at Auburn, by the way, folks. Just put that out there.
Auburn who?
So you do like winners. So you are Roll Tide. All right. So Nick, people may not be familiar with your story. So let's sort of start from the beginning. How did you find yourself in the Army and then becoming a motivational speaker?
Yeah. Well, getting in the Army is something I never wanted to be part of. Actually, it's funny. My mom grew up a military brat and was always telling me to join the Army. And I was like, no, I'm good. and then I was in college at UAB, it's University of Alabama at Birmingham. Mm-hmm. And 9/11 happened. And that was what I needed to be like, this is something bigger than me. And I went in the military and ended up the 101st out of Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And I really enjoyed my time in the military, really enjoyed it. And of course, you know, a couple of years into it, I got injured on my second deployment to Iraq, and that changed my entire, changed everything in my life.
For sure. And obviously we know it transitioned you into someone who provides inspiration to so many others, but I mean, even if you don't know a story like this, I know it didn't happen overnight like that. You didn't just go, okay, cool, now I'm going to be a motivational speaker.
Yeah.
What was the journey like from, holy hell, I'm a double amputee and I probably hate the world, right? Like what was that process like?
Well, you know, in the hospital, I had tons of emotions. Of course, I was medicated, then finding out that I'd lost my arm, lost my leg. And it was horrific. And I was emotional and angry. And when I moved back to Alabama from the hospital, I was just grieving everything, not just my injury. Like I had, once I got in the military, especially the fact that I never wanted to be in, once I got in, I loved it. I absolutely I was an infantryman. You know, I loved my job. I loved everything about it. So there was a lot I was dealing with emotionally and mentally because I'd lost this career. Most people go their entire lives to never find a career. Mm-hmm. And I was going to retire out of the military. And so dealing with everything was tough. And I went through a lot of depression, and I've been very open about it and talk about it any chance it comes up. But it was actually getting back into fitness and running races that over time of trying to better myself, and I have three kids and I wanted to be a better example for them. I got back into fitness and then running races and obstacle course races and marathons caught the attention of Men's Health. They called me the ultimate guy, put me on the cover.
And I remember that cover. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and everything took off from there. I ended up on Ellen, after her. Mm-hmm. All these shows wanted me, Survivor and all these different things. Yep. And I turned them down, though, because they were too much time away from my kids. Family. My kids were young and Survivor. People may not know this, but even if you get voted off, you have to stay with the crew. You can't call, no contact back home. So I was like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And then ended up Dance with the Stars wanted me, and I'd never seen it. And I was like, I heard of your show. They wanted to put me in a house in L.A. And I was like, I can't do it. I got to stay here in Alabama. And they said, that's all right. Your dancer will go there. And we flew back and forth to L.A. for a live show.
It's amazing. And
it's been a crazy ride to go from the very bottom and then working.
When did you have the moment where you recognize, okay, I'm done feeling bad for myself. I have to be here for my kids. When did that happen?
So there was a moment I had where, you know, the kids were young and they were sitting on the couch watching cartoons. I walked in the living room and I realized that I am showing them how to be a man. You know what I mean? How to be a provider, you know, a parent. You know, all these things, and I wasn't doing it. I was not the person that I would be spending time with today. You know, as you are the people around you. Mm-hmm. I was not the right person. And so I knew I had to make a change. Of course, I always tell people that life doesn't just fix. Life is not a movie. And even when I realized I needed to improve, I still screwed up. I have always been open about that, because I feel like if people think that I got blown up, lost two of my limbs, and then ended up in the gym, and then Men's Health and Dancing with the Stars, no, that's ridiculous. Right. You know, it's not even half the story. But, you know, for people to know that I still messed up, but my kids were my motivation to just even push through when I screwed up. And that's what people need to realize. And we make mistakes. But when we make mistakes, that means that we're doing something. People who aren't making mistakes aren't making any risk, not taking any risks. They're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. And so mistakes mean that you're improving, you're learning, you're getting better.
I love that. I know we talk on the show a lot about mental health and how that's part of the journey, right? And like getting your headspace, right? And how important that is. I'd love for you to talk more about that, but also how just kind of like working out, how the physical element of that also connects to that.
So, well, I mean, I always compare the two. You didn't even have to ask me. Like, whenever I talk about, when people bring up mental health, I'm like, well, why don't we just talk about health? Because most people think, well, I got to eat good and I have to work out. Well, that's just part of it. Like this, everything is controlled by this, you know, the most important organ in our body. And so this, not too long ago, it was just a month or two ago, I went to a doctor's appointment. And my son had said something to my wife about doing something with me. She's like, oh, he went to the doctor. He was like, what doctor? And she was like, oh, a mental health appointment. And he was like, oh, is everything okay? And she said, actually, everything's great. He just, you know, he takes care of himself, both physically and mentally. It was perfect, actually, because that's the kind of being a good leader is all about, is being the example. You can't just say it. Mm-hmm. Saying it does nothing, nothing but shows that you talk a lot. That's it. Doing it is setting the example for them to see this is critical for just taking care of yourself. You don't have to be on the brink of a mental breakdown.
It's actually better if you're not. It's how you avoid that.
Yeah, don't let your body get to 400 pounds before you're like, oh, maybe I should take care of myself. You know, it's all together.
You know, I this is a great message and I love it. You know, again, it would be so easy to have your situation happen and just give up, right? Oh, and no. And just be like, well, you know, I got dealt a crap. And by the way, I don't think anyone would be mad or blame you, right? Because you're like,
I say that all the time. I'm like, nobody would. Nobody. If I just quit, people are like, well, I mean, the dude lost an arm and a leg. Let him, you know what I mean? Let him do his thing. But that's the thing is, I don't want, nor do I want to see anyone else, veteran or not, ever get to that point. Like, you got to keep pushing. And I always tell people that we decide if we want to be the exceptional or the average person. And the difference of the two is exceptional. Average people hit a barrier in life, which we all hit at different times, and they stop. They say, well, this is it. This is where I made it to. No, exceptional people find a way to go over, under, around, or through that obstacle. And that's the only difference. And we decide that. Mm-hmm. We decide it.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's a great segue. And I feel like there's something that I knew you for before Larry introduced us, aside from your ravishingly full beard that I'm sure Larry is jealous of. And, you know, but it's the Tough Mudder clip with like the one armed pull and kind of like, it's like the journey of endurance. I mean, I've done obstacle races before. I'm a little out of shape, so I'm kind of getting my sea legs back together. But talk about that and that journey, and like whether it's camaraderie, all of the things that go into that, and kind of like how you got to that point.
Well, you know, I had come across Tough Mudder and obstacle course races like that just by chance. A friend of mine was like, hey, let's try this. I tried a really small 5K called a Warrior Dash. That was actually the first thing I did. And the, you know, I always tell people it's an easy course. Once you start doing bigger ones, it's an easier race.
Starting off, I don't know. I mean, your girls building up to that Tough Mudder. But
like, I mean, people are having fun. They're wearing costumes. Like, it's a fun time. It was so hard on me. But I had my buddy that was with me in the military all the way, helped me through every obstacle, where it motivated me to be like, you know what? I'm going to change the way I'm working out. And I started figuring out different, and then pushing myself. And then I started mastering these obstacles and I got better and I started doing bigger races. And then it became actually pure ego that I would go to these races, because a lot of the obstacles, you'd see fit guys helping each other up these walls. Yep. They'd be like, oh, do you want help? I'm like, no, I got this. And would just jump up, grab the top, and pull myself up and over. And I would hear guys be like, did you just see that? Like, that was, it was pure ego. But it got me a lot of attention, and things just kept growing.
You know, obviously, when you lose an arm and a leg, you have to, you know, figure out a new, when you're rehabbing and physical therapy, to like, how am I going to walk again and run and do different things? Talk about that process, when you had to get fitted for special equipment to be able to run and walk, and that whole process of getting ready to do what you're doing.
You're asking all the right questions.
That's why I keep them around, yeah.
Running. I remember when I got my first running, like I'd already learned to walk, like, and I was very, like, I walked all the time, and it was brutal. When I first started walking on a prosthetic leg, like, just walking across, you know, a small room, sweating profusely, just so much work, your body trying to adapt. And so I'd gotten pretty good at that. And then I finally got a running leg. And I remember thinking, I can't wait to run again. You know, and in my mind, I kept thinking about what it was like to run when I had all my limbs. When I put on this running leg, because I don't have a knee, I'm swinging it with my thigh, and then it's swinging the hinge out to land on this spring. And it was nothing like running on two legs. And I had a therapist next to me. They put the little belt on you so they can hold on to you. And I remember just getting so aggravated. And then I was afraid to do it by myself, because I was afraid I'd land and hurt my arm that I'd already injured. So when I got back after getting that leg and I moved back to Alabama, I just put that leg in the closet, and it stayed there for a long time. And then when I started getting back into shape, I was like, you know, I would really like to run, but I was still kind of nervous about it. And this is going to sound ridiculous, but me and my kids were sitting down watching America's Funniest Home Videos. And there was a clip of a dog missing both its legs on the same side, just running around the yard. Everybody's laughing. It was funny. But I remember thinking, oh, there's the difference. That dog isn't overthinking it. As humans, we overthink. I started running after that. So basically, we could really say, you know, Bob Saget changed my life.
You know, there's a lot of people who could say that, you know?
Rest in peace, Bob. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's a true story. Like, that motivated me to start running.
That piece right there is so amazing. Let's drill down on that. Not just that particular incident, but how people can find motivations in areas where they don't even think about it. You crystallize it right there. Animals ain't thinking. They're just like, I got to get to the food, or going. Like, it's fine. Like, it's us. So talk about the ways in which you can find motivations and ways to improve yourself in just everyday life, if you allow yourself to.
You know, just like that, like I said, animals don't overthink. As humans, we overthink. Because I meet people all the time, and, you know, most people know, and if they don't, that's okay, that, hey, nutrition is more important than your time in the gym. You know, you cannot out-train a bad diet. And now then people bring up that same point that any of us have ever thought. It can be really hard. Nutrition can be complicated. But I always point out to people, hey, no one's asking you to jump on stage right now. You know what I mean? Just take a step back. We all kind of know what we shouldn't eat. Donuts. You know what I mean? Like, you know, things that we know. You know, fried food, lots of sugar, sodas, things like that. So I always tell people, hey, start with the little things. Start drinking more water. Start watching what you're eating. And it's just a gradual climb. And look at that right there.
Cheers. There you go.
And that's what it's all about, you know. And then when it comes to real motivation, I always tell people, find something that's bigger than what you're afraid of. Usually it's our fears that hold us back. And you have to – mine were my children. You know what I mean? They were more important than any fear I had. And people should just find that thing, because then when they get to that point, like we talked about before, where they average people stop, well, then they have to be like, wait a minute, I might be scared, but I've said I wanted this, or I'm doing this for this person or whatever. And so, boom, it gives them a reason to push through it.
I know they always say, like, nothing good comes from being in your comfort zone. And I think, you know, trying to find your why is what I'm hearing here. And I think that's really important. Yeah. Like, I know for me, first half marathon I ever did, I was like, I did it for Leukemia Lymphoma Society. And like, I was like, you know what? I had cancer when I was 18. Cancer was fucking harder. I am not a runner. I'm Jewish. I have short legs for my height. If I was getting chased with a gun, I still couldn't run a 10-minute mile consistently. So like, that's just like biology, but it's like finding your why and breaking it down into kind of like smaller achievable things, right? Like I heard somewhere once, it's like, oh, you want to lose 50 pounds. You don't want to lose 50 pounds. You want to lose 1 pound 50 times. So like, talk more kind of about that process, because I think like, I love the different steps of it, the motivation from different places, but like, what were those kind of moments or advice that you have to kind of like figure out what are those smaller steps so that it doesn't feel like it's something that is out of reach, even if the timeline is long?
Well, one, the worst thing that people do, and you know, it's easier said than done, but people, one of the biggest things is a scale. You know what I mean? Like you, it's why have it? You know what I mean? You should not be, don't look at magazines and think, I want that person's body. You're not going to have that person's body. You may find out that underneath what you got going on is even better than that person. You know what I mean? But your goal is to be the healthiest you can be. And we'll find out what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And trust me, you'll feel and look incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, no one's ever been in shape and someone said, you know what? They look better when they were fat. You know, yeah, we've all said somebody was funnier when they were fat, but no one looks better.
I like that.
I don't know. It is like, you know, just like we talked about before, though, changing little things. Number one, like you're drinking water. Like most people, they don't think about how much soda or whatever it is they actually consume. Mm-hmm. And then you cut that out. Mm-hmm. And people will start dropping weight mm-hmm. just from that. And so then they'll be motivated to see that, hey, let's find. And, you know, like I've never been a big vegetable eater. And now my wife, who's big into cooking, her whole family is. I just didn't have it the right way. She made me vegetables, sauteing them. And finally, I'm like,
this is great.
Yes. Why didn't anybody try this when I was a little kid? Like nobody even gave it an effort.
No, that's amazing. I want to talk a little bit about the work you do with your No Excuses Charitable Fund. And obviously, No Excuses, that fits you perfectly because I think that's your mantra. That's your mindset, right? Like, yeah. To your point, the average is when you stop, right? I can find a way. There is a way, right? Right? I mean, yeah. It's like where there is no way, you make one, right? That's sort of the mindset. What brought about the feeling and the want to start No Excuses Charitable Fund, and what are the latest things you guys have going on now?
So the charitable fund, I, as an injured veteran, especially early on, got to experience a lot of different veterans groups. Like I got injured at the end of 2005. So there was a lot of guys and a few women that were being injured and were in the hospital. So there's a lot of organizations that were doing things to try to help and be there for us. And I found that not all organizations are the same. And there are a lot of organizations that are pretty bad, actually, mm-hmm. You know, and that bothered me. So then fast forward several years and I never forgot those organizations. And when I had my own platform, I decided, you know what? Once you get attention, like you can't badmouth someone else. You know, you never throw dirt, you lose ground. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I can't do that. But what I can do is really highlight the great organizations out there. So it brings attention to them. I can get money to them. And then it builds their reputation that overshadows the bad ones. So that's what I've done. I've always just had different groups. And now I've started, this is the second year this September mm-hmm. of having a charity golf event. Mm-hmm. And every year is a different organization, a good organization that does what they claim to do. And I'll get to highlight them. All the proceeds go to them. And it's just fun. Like I started playing golf because of COVID and now I'm obsessed with it. So I was like, well, let's have a golf tournament. And we did the first one last year and There was a lot of drinking. There was a lot of fun. And everyone had a blast. And I wasn't sure if I was going to do it every year, but everyone was like, tell me you're doing this again next year. Like, everyone was ready to sign up right then. So we're doing it every year, different organization.
That's awesome. I do have to ask, as a golfer myself, is it easier because of the limited limbs that I don't have all these things to quiet down, right? It's like one hand, I don't have two to worry about. I'm fine.
You know what? That's actually a good point. And thankfully, I think the best thing that happened to me was I didn't play golf before I was injured.
Yeah.
I think that what if I was like a scratch golfer?
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing. And now I suck. No, instead, I just suck. And but now, after a couple of years of playing, I realized most people suck.
Yeah.
So I'm actually like, it surprises people when I show up and I'm like, yeah, and I'm actually not that bad. Most golfers suck.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've seen Charles Barkley,
oh, I know. Oh, my God.
I don't know where that hitch comes from. But
the crazy thing is that when Chuck was a player, like he was really good. Like he was really good at golf. Like, and it just, over the years, I'm like, that hitch just developed. And it's like, he's tried so many things to get rid of it. And it's just like, you know.
He's a local guy here.
Yeah.
And
from Leeds.
He's an amazing person. Mm-hmm. Just a good guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That golf swing, though.
No, I thought about that, though, because I was like, he has less things to worry about. So I have to imagine that he's okay, right? Because that's the problem with the golf swing.
I don't know. I think that's like the definition of like getting in your own head about stuff, right? To me, it's like you can see when he's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be doing that. And then it's like the pause. It's like,
golf's one of those sports. Yeah. It will golf. Oh, the worst thing you can do, and he'll agree, like, is if you watch some YouTube videos to adjust your swing or something.
Worst thing you can do.
It never works.
Take a lesson, have a beer.
Just hang out with your friends. It's way better. All right, folks, we're going to come back because we're going to talk about sneakers a little bit and the functionality and how, you know, Noah thinks about, well, what kind of sneakers do I have to wear when I have to do these different things? And how does he take that into account when he's doing his various Tough Mudders and races and all these things? So don't go away. Everybody stay tuned. All right, folks, we're back, and you know what time it is. America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by Another Lane. Look, we talk about Another Lane every week, the premier digital marketplace for dope kicks. Chad and Adina Jones, husband and wife team, they do it big over there. Make sure you support local and small businesses. Now, this is going to be a little bit different because Noah isn't exactly someone who goes out and is like, all right, let me get the new Travis Scott ones. Let me get the new – it's like, well, I don't – you know. Because you'd have to only buy
I never told you I wasn't.
You don't know that, Jay. You don't know his life.
but you're right.
Well, because the first thing is, because here's what I would do if I were, you know, I'd be like, okay, cool. I want the Travis Scott ones, but I only need one. Like, so what's up? I'm not paying. Why should I pay full price?
You need a soulmate who has the other shoe. That's what you
need. You see.
But like usually you actually wear those shoes because the prosthetic has a foot.
Of course.
But
that's true.
I walk around in what's called the running leg that has that blade.
And I wear it
every day. So I do. I'll wear out and it wears this shoe gets dirty. So then I can't wear the other ones together because then it doesn't look dirty until it's next to a brand new one.
See?
I can't buy expensive shoes because I feel like I'm getting ripped off. That is exactly right.
You see that, Gabby? I knew mind melt. I knew we were there on that. But Noah, it is important that you do have stability in your sneakers and shoes that you put on, right? So, how do you go about shopping for sneakers and shoes, and how important is stability and functionality?
Well, I used to be the kind of person that, like, my foot arch, I could wear anything. It could be flat, you know, whatever it was, I had the perfect, my feet were perfect. You know, it was like the rest of me, just everything was perfect. And
get out of there. I love it.
But, you know, over time, I mean, it's been 17 years since I was injured and now I'm on one foot and my body weight has shifted. My whole center of gravity has shifted to my right side. And so it takes a lot more pressure and I've run a lot of races and now I have, you know, now I'm 40 and it's really caught up to me, and I cannot wear shoes that aren't. What I've done recently was I finally did something that I'm not really excited about, but okay, I didn't get the Hukas, but I got a pair of New Balances that basically have the same cushionly sole.
Noah, don't be sad. I wear Hokas when I run because I have flat feet, and not only do I wear Hokas with orthotic inside. Yes, yeah. With an insert. So wow. Listen, we got to do what we got to do to maintain, and I have no shame in my game, so I'm fine. 50,
is it 50 coming up this year, Jay? Or
listen,
are we
calm down. Ain't nobody 50. Calm yourself. Calm yourself. Now look, you're the ones coming. You're the one coming in hot.
Always.
You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Don't get gassed. But no, it's. You have to, you know, it's funny because I had a similar thing happen, right? I would always like to run in Nikes and whatever. I remember going to a running store and they did the whole like running profile on me. They're like, bro, like those shoes don't help you. Like they're not. No. That's why you're always complaining about, oh, this hurt. I'm like, yeah, because those shoes don't help. You need these. And I'm like, all right.
And ever since it's happened to me, I always tell people, go get fitted. Mm-hmm. Find out what 100%. Shoes you need. Mm-hmm. You know, because like I have a wider foot. So New Balances work great mm-hmm. for me. Mm-hmm. You know, now, and what really sucks is because my doctor told me I had to quit. I used to wear, even with a prosthetic leg, not with this one, the running leg, but I'd wear cowboy boots all the time. And my doctor was like, stop.
Yeah.
He's like, you look like an idiot. No, I'm just kidding. He's like, it's bad for your foot.
He was like, yeah, no, this is not a thing.
That's amazing. But it's true though. I mean, like I'm team Asics when it comes to running shoes. New Balance is great. And you know, a lot of these tests and trials that stores have are Gerard's favorite price. $3.99. You know?
Got that right. No, but it is important, right? Because,
100%.
You know, as you talked about your overall health, right? Including your mental and your physical health. It's like, you don't want to be on the sideline injured and all messed up, right? So wear what is actually good for you and what is going to limit injury. So if you need support and cushion, get that sneaker with all that cushion. It's fine.
Well, then not only that, like people don't realize how important their shoe is. Like, you know, running a marathon or a half marathon is different than running a Tough Mudder or a Spartan mm-hmm. race because mm-hmm. you don't want a shoe with a lot of cushion because you're in and out of water and mud and mm-hmm. it just soaks it up. Yep. And there are shoes that are made by companies that are, you know, they're made to be in and out of water and have that mm-hmm. grip. And yeah, people, you got what you wear on your feet is critical and important.
Yeah. I mean, it's. Are you a road runner? Are you a trail runner? Are you like, it's like, those are different sneakers, right? Like if it's going to be super icy where you live, it's like, okay, well, those little slick bottoms, that's not, you know, you got to make sure they can grip whatever it is that you're on. So no,
I don't think people should be running if it's icy.
I think that's true. I don't even like to walk if it's icy. I'm a liability. So.
I mean, I will say in the wintertime, I do run when it's, you know, I switch the shoes, right? We go to the ones with the better traction and terrain. It's still hocus though. Which, yeah, like the cars, spikes. You put the
get those winter spikes on those Hokas.
It's like when you're climbing a wall, you put spikes on the bottom, of your, like in Game of Thrones, ice pick and spikes on your shoes, and you're climbing the wall.
I like that.
Noah, this was awesome, man. I think your story is inspirational. You know, Dancing with the Stars. That's just we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the amazing. One-handed Aladdin. That was quite the move.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, the lift was great, but when I did the Aladdin and they spray painted my hair black and it was standing up real high, I've not heard the end of that.
And that, my friend, as you know, is will live in eternity because it's on the internet. So. Yeah. Yeah, once great. On the internet, that's just, yeah, you know.
Thanks, Jared. I'd forgotten about it until you brought it up.
He's really good at that.
Yeah, no, I try. No, but your story is incredible. Thank you so much for sharing it with us and sharing your time. Where can people find you and get motivated by you and just, you know, follow your journey and take bits of inspiration? Because I'm a believer in that, right? This is someone that you can take a piece of something from. Not necessarily like you're losing an arm and a leg, but just his willingness to say, no, you can, right? You can overcome something. How can people find you?
Well, I'm all over social media. It's all certified or verified accounts. But the easiest way, I guess, noahgalloway.com. That'll take you a link to my Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And if anybody is interested, you know, we mentioned my golf tournament. There's a tab that goes to noexcusesgolf.com. If anybody is, you know, in the Alabama area or wants to come, a lot of people come from out of town. They want to play. We got spots, or they want to sponsor it, or if you got something you want to donate, we will be more than happy.
Thank you, Noah. We appreciate it. And folks, of course, we are part of the Count the Dings family. You can find us with the Original Bomb Show, Woke Bros, Crypto Bros, you know, rap names, where it's everybody and us. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, YouTube, all that stuff at Kicks and Shit Show on all social media platforms. And until next time, peace.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.